So let's go ahead and go into a message here this evening. And I want to bring it into the reality of entitlement, Marriage Obsolete or Relevant. And, you know, today it's just the common norm that people live together. Mm-hmm. Don't think anything about it. We've got a neighbor. I've been a witness to these young people ever since they've probably been Rana's age, I suppose, and now they're out of the home, and guess what? Living with their significant others, they call it, right? Which I hate that name, but yeah. Nevertheless, it's one of those things I thought maybe I might bring a message here this evening on man or woman being married are not ashamed living in that kind of condition. And I want to go into a message, and I think I'll read this one here, starting off with. There's so much that pertains to that. But let's pause in a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be able to delve into this message. And I know it's a message that the whole world needs, not just some, but relevant for us today. Because Satan is out as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to devour every Christian home he can. No matter who it is, Satan is on the rampage, and he wants to bring up arguments. He wants to bring up division and strife. And if the marriage falls, the whole nation will go downhill. And that's exactly what's going on. So help us to delve into the scriptures here tonight and help us to be able to be instructed in righteousness, and help us not to think that we're too high and mighty that we might not fall, because he that thinketh himself to be standing considereth not that he is going to fall, and something like that. And so we just thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be able to look into the scriptures, breathe upon us, and give us the strength from the scriptures here this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's look at Proverbs, the 7th chapter. And I want to read the whole business here, and it's only 27 verses. But I thought, well, I'll just read from 25 on, or whatever it was, maybe 20 on. But I can't stop there. I've got to read the whole business here, because it very much is for us today. It doesn't matter who you are or what caliber of a marriage you have. Satan is going to attack. I'll grant you that. Right. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, Satan will try to bring you down. So my son, keep my words and lay not up my commandments with thee. Keep thy commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. That's an emphatic statement. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. That is a big significant emphasis there. Enticement from a strange woman. And it hits every man, it doesn't matter who it is, because it's out there. From the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth, a young man void of understanding, passed through the streets near her corner, and he went the way of her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And that's where evil gropes, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Big emphasis there of the attire of a harlot. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lie in wait in every corner. And you notice it says, and now, twice there. And so she caught him and kissed him, and with an imprudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. False peace we got there. Notice that. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. I have found thee. And I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with the carved works, with the linen of Egypt. In other words, she flowered it up, and it was a glorious thing that she thought that she was enticing this stranger. And I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloe, and cinnamon. In other words, just kind of like perfumes, what it amounts to. Come and let us take our fill of love until the morning, Let us solace ourselves with love, for the good man is not at home, and he has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. And with her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Well, that's a big one there too. And as the fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. What does that indicate there? Disease, doesn't it? Strikes through. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strikes through the liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearkeneth unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my youth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Last verse, her house in the way is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I've been enticed in the days past. Women coming up, one woman come up in the days past, and I won't go through the lingo that she brought, but it's definitely not good. And I wasn't single at the time. And there's a lot of women that dressed in the attire of a harlot. I remember going up into Manitoba there at... trying to think of where I was at. But anyway, it doesn't matter, big city. And going down the street, and these women, were dressed in the attire of a harlot. And, you know, I'm a man. Everybody else is a man here, right? We're not fooling anybody here. And I looked off to the left, and guess what? I almost ran through a stop sign. And my late wife said, "You better keep your eyes on the road now." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." We know that women will have an enticement. Why is that? Because there is temptation. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempted above that which you're able. If I quoted that right. So we know there's temptations raging on every man. And by the way, boys, you're going to be going into that someday. As a matter of fact, Jesse's 12, and he's going to go into 13, and his voice is already changing. What's going to happen? His metabolism is going to change. His mind's going to change. His heart's going to change. His eyes are going to change. What's going to happen? He's going to be either desiring that which is good or that which is evil. And he does not want to be looking in the wrong way, and neither does this man. Because when I was growing up, just allude to the age that I'm living here. Back when I was in Aurora, Nebraska, the women came to school with dresses. They didn't come with torn jeans. They didn't come with shorts clear up to their crotch. They come dressed decently. What's happened? Brother, I graduated in 1967, and they were still wearing dresses. What's happened? The morale is going down. Just like my brother once said about different people, he said they got the morals of a tomcat. Isn't that the truth? People, men, do not have the right standards. They think that living together is just all right. And so we look at what it says here in the scriptures. It says, "I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding." And that's where it all starts, doesn't it? I don't know about you men, but I haven't always been saved. I know the pastor, he kept himself pure and clean all these years, but you know, I didn't get saved till I got out of Vietnam. And boy, I had a lot of trash in the past. But you know, Satan is out to get the youth. Mm-hmm. And I was a young guy, and I got sucked into some things I shouldn't have been sucked into. Just not going to reveal any of my sins, of course. But you can fill in the blanks. We know that Satan is out to desire and pull us down. So living together has become more and more of an acceptable thing today. Of popular examples such as the movie stars, brother, you hear one thing after another about different movie stars getting divorced, not only them, but lawyers and doctors, it doesn't matter. Sin is no respecter of person, is it? And we know that there's a lot of garbage. When I went over to visit my Aunt Wanda, which she's about to go through heart surgery, and hopefully you can pray for her tonight, on August the 2nd, upcoming. And she took the COVID shot, and her automatic blood pressure went up to 200. 200! Well, that's a almost death type of blood pressure there. And I went over to visit her and prayed for her. I went over to visit her twice. And guess who was there? My cousin Wayne. He's an airline pilot for United Airlines. Very intellect sort of guy. And he began to tell me, you know, he doesn't believe in the COVID. In other words, he refutes it. But when it come down to marrying, he will be married four times. Four times. And guess what? He wants to marry a Catholic. He wants to marry a Catholic. And my dad said to me when I was younger, son, don't you get involved with a Catholic woman. And I said, why? And he began to tell me a few things. And here my cousin is trying to tell me about how he went to the Pope, the priest, and how that he is endorsing some of their jargon that goes along with it. And I won't go through all that. And I tried to refute them by telling him that this is the way the Catholics believe. I know because I was married to an ex-Catholic. But I got married to her. The only difference is I got married to her when she became a born-again Christian. And then the old priest wanted me to raise up my two, well, not these two, but my oldest two, under the auspices of the Catholic Church. I said, no way, Jose. And she said the same thing. And we began to witness to the people. But what I'm saying is, people are getting married after one time after another. And the statistic evidence is that if a person gets divorced the first time, the second time around is 40%, and the third time, let's see, the first time, the second time, I can't remember, but one of the times is 60% of getting a divorce. And I'm not saying this to put down people that get divorced. Don't get me wrong. Because we all think, we all fail no matter what it is. And we want to know that God's grace is sufficient if we have a broken and contrite spirit. And we know, just like Brother Steve gave that message on Sunday, I thought it was very apropos. Hit people as it need to be hit. We're all fallible, aren't we? We're going to fail no matter what. And, you know, my sin's no different than anybody else's that gets a divorce. I'm not saying anything against it, other than the Lord hates it. And so I'm no better, though. So countless marriages today are being attacked by unseen forces. And these attacks are evil forces. And the way people dress is a big influence. Brother, is it a big influence? You can't hardly get away from it, can you? When they dress illicit down on the marquees or in magazines or on television or whatever it might be, walking through the stores, you name it, it's out there, isn't it? It's out there. And us men, we have to guard our heart with all diligence.
Right.
And if we don't, we're in bad, bad trouble. So take heed how that you might stand, lest at any time you should fall. Let's look at Luke, the 21st chapter, if you may. Luke, the 21st chapter. At verse 34, this. Take heed to yourselves, lest any time your heart be overcharged with surfeitings and drunkenness and the cares of life, and so that day come upon you unawares. And verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. And I think those were the two that I wanted to read here. lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surf rettings and drunkenness and cares of life. We can set anything up as an idol, can't we? Mm-hmm. We really can. And because of my wrong type of living, let's put it that way, these things bombard me over, sometimes over and over again. And that's why it's so important to raise up Jesse and Rihanna in the right way so they don't get involved in this kind of thing.
Amen.
And Seth and James, it's not any too early to be raising your children up in that respect, because so much evilness is groping in the dark. So one after another, people get into that mode of feeling like that they are high and mighty, and that'll never happen to me. Take heed that you might stand. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Luke, the 12th chapter, at verse 15. And he said unto them, I think this is the right one. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Take heed, beware of covetousness. You know, we're men here today, and young men, and we men have to guard our eyes. Just like David said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I might not sin against my God. And look not upon a maid with lust in your heart, of course. And a maid is, of course, a young woman. And so we know that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of what? The Father, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to guard in our minds what's taking place. So a woman is not a possession. When I, I won't go into that, but I heard about a guy that said, over there in the Philippines, he said a woman considers a man over there as a possession. As a possession, can you believe that? I couldn't believe that. As a possession. I don't. Brother Dan, he was in the Philippines. I don't know what he saw over there, but it is a lot of lewdness taking place over there. And there again, I won't go into any more detail than that. So we can't blame the devil for all the lust of the flesh, can we? The lust of the flesh and the pride of life are not of the Father, but of this world. So when old Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it, you think he really did? Absolutely not. Everybody knows about Flip Wilson. Maybe these young boys don't, but old Flip Wilson was on one of those, some kind of a talk show. I can't remember exactly, but it's been a ways back. Anyway, he was a black guy that said, the devil made me do it. The devil doesn't make us do anything, does he? He wants us to headlong into that and go after a strange woman. And guess what? It'll strike you in the liver. What does that amount to? A VD, doesn't it? VD. And there's a lot of that going on. We don't hear about a lot of it, but it's out there. And when movie stars get divorced, or they, I heard about one guy that said he had 100 women, and I don't know if he ever got VD or not, but nevertheless, that's what it brings on, after another. And I know we're getting into some intimate details here, but it has to be, as far as bringing it out in the open. So we feel good. Do we feel good about our sin of lust afterwards? Absolutely not. And every mind is a playground to Satan, isn't it? And there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new at all. And it's going to take place to these young boys when they get older. And we have to guard our hearts with all diligence. And know that there's many, many things out there. So, let's look at Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 12. Say to yourself, I don't think I like this message. Well, I didn't either until the Lord hit me on the head with it. 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. We don't want to continue in the lust. There's a lot of lust. You know, my wife loves to go out shopping, and I despise it. I despise going to these shops and hanging out with her. I just say, go for it. And she goes for it. But sometimes I have to. And the pastor, I know he's probably got to do the shopping because his wife doesn't probably go out too much. But nevertheless, I had to do some shopping when I was single for those 7 years. But when we go out shopping, we want to make sure we keep our eyes on what we're shopping for, right? Not the wrong shopping, but the right shopping. And so the Lord wants us to be able to do what's right. You know, like winter, at the looking out in the dead leaves. You know, I love fall because I like to go hunt. But yet when the leaves fall, it becomes dead out there, doesn't it? It looks really dead. And I remember as a young kid in Loomis, Nebraska, a little small town on the outside of Holdridge. I'd get up in the morning and or go out to bed at night, and it was all drab and dead out there. I woke up in the morning and it was a blanket of snow out there, beautiful, until it got over at the top of the porch. And that was when I was a young kid of about 6 years old or seven or eight, whatever it was. And it was beautiful, but yet it was a work to get out there and shovel that snow. So therefore, when we ourselves are dirty in sin, we don't enjoy our sin, do we? It just keeps, just like an old boy that led me to the Lord, your sins are like bricks. They keep piling up and piling up and piling up until you get rid of it through the blood of Christ. Right. And that snow indicates what? Purification, doesn't it? It throws on a blanket of dirty, dead, filthy things out there. Usually there's deer on the road out there. I saw one going to Beatrice, big old belly on it, and I thought, well, that deer's probably pregnant. No, it was dead. And then it bloats up, and it becomes smelly and ugly, doesn't it? Carl knows what I'm talking about. I see a smile on his face. Because deer or anything like that, any flesh, will become dead. And that's why we have to look at the right thing. We look at the women in the wrong attire. It's dead. We don't want anything to do with it. Get our eyes right. Get our heart right. Amen. Cleanse our sin and get things straightened out to have purification. Though our sins be as scarlet, it shall be white as snow. And we know only the Lord can purify that. Every day we need purification on our sin, don't we? If we don't, it becomes like a pile of bricks, loading us down. And that's why we have the jails that are full of it. And that's why the Lord wants us to cleanse our sin. Let's look at Romans, the 5th chapter. Turn over a few more pages at verse 24. 5:24. Wait a minute. Don't have the right scripture here. There is no 24 in Romans. How'd I get that scripture, I wonder?
NIV.
What's that?
NIV.
Yeah, right.
So they take verses out. Right?
Keep that to yourself.
Sorry.
Okay. So the blood of Christ, who will cleanse us of all sin. We'll have to go on to another one here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and everybody's familiar with this. I know. But it's 10 at verse 12. I want to read the previous one that we're all familiar with. And it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh that he stand take heed lest he should fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of an escape. And I've memorized that you may be able to bear it. I don't want to forget that one. That the Lord says, there's no temptation taking you. I remember a guy that offered me a beer. Oh, I don't know how long it's been. Maybe 15 years ago. And I gave him that verse there. And my sister, it was my sister's ex-husband is who it was. And later on, he was supposed to have gotten saved. I don't know. You never know what God's word is going to do if you quote it, do you? And that's why that I told him, I don't want to be tempted by that old alcohol. It's got a bind on us, a bondage on us. Mm-hmm. And just like I was talking to someone here today on the phone, I said, were you ever on drugs? I was a short time when I come back from Vietnam. stupidest thing I ever did. But you know something? I felt out of control. And this guy said, yeah, I was on marijuana and I was on mescaline. I said, well, I'm glad to hear that you got off of that. And he's a saved man, consecrated, by the way, to the Lord, trying to be a good testimony to him, and we are, to one towards another. And we all need friendship, don't we? Just like I told that young woman over there named Wendy. She's got kids, I guess she's not so young. One that's 21 and one that's thus and thus, what it is. And I said, you got to run with the right crowd, because bad company corrupts good manners. And if you run with the wrong crowd, you're going to be sucked down by the wrong crowd. I was running with the wrong crowd. That's why I admonished my son, my eldest son, that is, get out of that joint and run with the right crowd. And the best place to have the crowd is right in God's house. And then he will give you the encouragement that you need. And that's what each and every one of us is, good friends that will lift us up. So we might be able to be going forward for the glory of God. So churches are becoming more softened on the marriage standard. The people are falling like flies in the moral issues of their life. Just like my brother, it hits me on the head. There's not too many things I quote about him because he's kind of a liberal. But he's a good guy. But he said, we know that America has fallen to the morals of a tomcat or a rabbit or whatever you might say. But they don't care, do they? Because, well, I won't go into detail on that, but nevertheless, we've got to have the proper morals. Let's look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and everybody knows this scripture. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together is what it says. For when you admonish one another, when you see the day approaching. Let's read that. It bears repeating, doesn't it? Because so many people, by the way, I was going to bring along an article here, but I thought, well, I'm going to run out of time anyway, so I'm not going to read it. But it was out of the sword of the Lord's where it was at. And so many people are swallowing this hook, sinker, and line of this shot business. And I heard today, whether it's any truth or not, that England is saying immediately they're doing away with this COVID shot business. Why? Because there's people that are dying left and right. 45,000 people that are reported that have died of this COVID. Let's look at Hebrews 10:25 as we reiterate this. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, insomuch the more as you see the day approaching. Has that relinquished and gone out of our society today? Sometimes I wonder, you know. They don't want to put God in their place. I've talked to even preachers. Oh, did you get where you break out all over? What do they call that disease? I know I've had it. No, not that.
A rash?
Yeah, it's a rash, yeah. Oh, I can't think what it is right offhand. But I got the shot, and he said, well, there you have it. You got the shot, and you need to get this COVID shot. Boy, I wanted to just jump up and stomp holes in the ground. You know that? They're being swallowed. They're being duped. They're being deceived by the whom? Their flesh, mainly. They can't blame it on the devil. But, you know, they're going to ride along with the rest of the crowd. And I got a piece of paper from the VA. I don't know if Brother Carl got anything like this, but they were orchestrating and promoting. Matter of fact, they said that every worker there in the VA has to go through that shot. They've got to take it. It's mandatory. And you know what? At the public schools, they're making sure that these five-year-old kindergartens have their shots right here. Isn't that a bunch of hogwash?
Amen.
It just boils my blood.
Amen.
To see all that. Parents are being raised up and fighting against this. And the Lord is holding back all this for a little while. But you know it's going to come down to the focal point of sticking that under the skin, isn't it? It's going to happen. So I won't continue on much longer here, but Booker King, by the way, I wished I could bring about what they had to say about Burger King, about Chick-fil-A. Some of you probably know about it, but they're going against Chick-fil-A because Chick-fil-A is resisting all of this LGBTQ, whatever they call it. the gay rights amendment, and they're supporting. Matter of fact, 40% of every hamburger that they sell goes for these LGBTQ.
Wow.
Isn't it sickening?
Amen.
This makes me boiling mad. If we don't have the backbone to stand up against and get mad against all this, we don't have the power to love, do we? Can you imagine God in his infinite mercy giving you mercy to get away from all this, and furthermore redeeming you by his blood, but yet sending these people to a devil's hell? A friend of mine said that he heard a message by that black guy, Tony Evans, who it is, preaching on hell, and he said this: it just doesn't seem to be right. And I said to him, oh yes it does. God is making a way of escape. And if you're truly born again, God has given you the right to be in his presence. But those others, God's righteousness, will not allow all this rejection of his son's blood.
Right.
And so I try to be as tolerant as I can, but it raises up in my backbone to want to strike out too. And we've got to have the disposition of hating sin, but loving people at the same time. So God's law never changes over the ages, because he knows best what is good for us. He orchestrates this into his program. Do not be promiscuous, because it'll nip you and it'll cut you into the liver. In other words, it'll kill you. It's what it's talking about here in the 7th chapter of Proverbs. It'll kill you sooner or later. So why is the manufacturer that makes a product, why do they have a manual and say that you're to read the manual first and foremost? I had to read the manual for my car. Many times I had to read the manual to straighten it out. And now I've got a pickup that's down on the blinks, Brother Carl. He's the one that helped me with my master cylinder. It's got to be the master cylinder again. And so what do? We go to the manual to figure out what's wrong. And people, they need the look of God's word. That's why I hope that woman named Wendy is really wanting to do business, because I'm going to go over there in the evening time with my wife and family, of course, to talk to her again. She sounded like she was really hungering after righteousness. So we never know who's out there that wants to listen, that is. So God's manual is his word, and marriage is holy and sacred, and we want to follow it right down to the letter, don't we?
Amen.
If we don't, we are going to be in a bad trouble. Take heed, how that you might stand, lest at any time ye shall fall. And just like an old boy that led me to the Lord, the one guy said, when will you ever, and he was 58 when he was asked, this individual asked him this question, when will you ever quit looking at a woman that is dressed in a bikini? He says, you won't, until you die. In other words, he was saying, you can, but you don't want to look the second time. And that was good admonition on his part. Don't look the second time. Get your eyes where they need to be. And yes, I'm preaching to the choir here, no doubt. But we're all made out of the same blood, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go ahead and finish this off. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. Now, Matthew 6, well, Ecclesiastes 8:11. And I can quote this one, and it's been in my craw for some time. A sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is set in them to do evil, right?
Right.
And why do people continue in their sin? You know, you're no different. I'm not any different than you are. Why do we want to look at a woman, a strange woman, and lust in our hearts? Because that's the Adamic nature, and it's going to be with us all the way out to the burial. And we've got to resist it. Don't look at them the second time. Just like I was saying, that woman over there at Menards came up, and she began to flower me with all kinds of suave talk. And she was a beautiful woman. But you know what? She had the dress of a harlot. She was trying to entice me to get away from my wife. Would that have been good? No, it wouldn't have been good at all. It was of the devil. So there is, let me bring this conclusion here. But first of all, when you look into God's word, you will be content in the God's law. And when we look in God's law, there'll be no bad consequences, will there? Let's look at this conclusion here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, everybody knows that, I'm sure. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. If we seek God's righteousness, everything will be pure and white as the driven snow. But if we continue in our sin, sin will have its consequences. Just like David said, my sin is ever, forever before me. Boy, that's a big impact on me anyway. And the devil will use it over and over again. Your past will come back, and the devil will make sure that you keep hitting hit on. I had a dream last night of some situation that happened to me years and years and years ago. I woke up and thinking that I was still in that atmosphere. And I know I was a bad thing to have in my mind, but why was it there? I don't know. I didn't bring it on. I really didn't. Anybody identify with those things?
Amen.
So if we put Christ first in our life, and the first in our marriage, you will have a bond between your mate and the Lord that no one will ever break. I thought that was a good statement, that no one will ever break if you put Christ first in your life and your mate. And the reason that marriages fall apart, because they don't keep in God's word and let it be penetrated in your heart, indelibly stamped. In other words, you cannot go without reading God's word, because he'll keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from his word, right? Okay, we're about that time that we need to quit, right? Long overdue, I'm sure, but I thought that was good for me anyway. I hope it was good for some of you men and you young guys, as far as I go.